Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz, one of the absolute best basketball writers out there. Thank you for joining us here on Damon and Ratto. It's good to have you, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, good to be here. I'm well.
Thank you very much. Man, I tell you, that was a game that everyone pointed at and looked at. Game six, Clay. You know, fans probably said it 1,000 times. Announcers said it 10,000 times. And that's fantastic. It was a huge part of it. But we are talking to you today because the Warriors went bonkers on the glass. They got past the Grizzlies because they threw down one of the all-time rebound performances, not just in their own history, but an NBA playoff history with 70 boards, for goodness sakes, against the Memphis Grizzlies. I didn't think they had it in them.
This is what you get with Looney. Not every night, but the Warriors are so identified with their so-called smaller lineups. And obviously there was a lot of negotiation, just what do you give up and what do you get against Memphis, which is, you know, kind of an unusual team. And I think I'm actually really curious to see how they do it against a Dallas team that has decided they want to play small-ish pretty much all the time. You know, on one hand, Looney gives you that. And when you have that lineup, when you, you know, go with Wiggins, who's committed himself to be a rebounder, Clay 6'7", he's pretty enormous. So that's actually quite a good rebounder for a smaller guard. You know, and obviously Draymond, you've got the personnel out there, but what you sacrifice is sometimes is the mobility. With obviously Looney's, he doesn't have a huge range to his offensive game, but it's going to be really interesting because rebounds matter, particularly when you're the Warriors, because, and Steve Kerr likes to talk about the possession battle. Well, the Warriors turn the ball over a ton, and it's been an issue for 8 years. It's sort of a function of the way they play. All that beautiful basketball is a lot of movement. Well, moving the ball and moving people tends to create more confusion than having a guy dribble it for 20 seconds and then go. So the boards are going to be really important in this Dallas series.
Given that, as small as the Warriors are in terms of just sort of metric measurements, are they a better rebounding team than Dallas? And is that something that you can rely on from game to game? Or is it going to be a little bit more like, you know, what the games turned out to be, which is you can't tell who's going to be good on any given night because you can lose by 20 and beat and then win by 30.
I think the latter, and also because Dallas is this interesting team that is just starting to figure things out. I mean, this hey, we're going to play five out, which is what they did against Phoenix and prior to that Utah. This is a relatively new thing for them. And this is my favorite kind of series. And even Steve Kerr, just about less than an hour ago, said, you know, this is going to be one of those series where you come in with your plan and then you pretty much deal with contingencies for the next six games. Right, because Dallas doesn't even really know who they are, other than they looked really, really good for the last 96 minutes against a good Phoenix team, and they did it primarily, you know, doing this. Hey, we're going to have five perimeter shooters. We're going to keep the lane completely open for that guy, who's Luka, and just let him rumble. And by the way, he can kick out across his body, over his head. I mean, one of the great passers the league has seen in sort of half court. In half-court basketball in recent years, and so I'm fascinated. I mean, I haven't been this excited sort of tactically from an X's and O's standpoint for a series in a long while. And the fun thing is, and I wrote this kind of last week, the Warriors are kind of still figuring it out. You know, Wiggins, Green, Thompson, and Curry played 9 seconds together during the regular season. 9 seconds! You know, and those are, you know, arguably their four best players. I don't think it's arguable. So, it's going to be really interesting, I think, to watch game one. And I suspect when we're talking after game five or six, like, it's going to be an entirely different conversation.
Well, it feels like whatever you take away from one game, you start applying it to the next, you're going to be way off. Just fade your own thoughts about whatever series you're looking at, and you might be right for the first time. And I'm not talking about you, Kevin. I'm talking about all of us, because trying to take an expectation from one game and drag it into the next has been a fool's errand, really, all around the playoffs this year. Kevin Arnovitz from ESPN here on 95.7 The Game. Is it safe to say that you are embedded with the Western Conference Finals going forward?
Yeah, I'm gonna be with the Western Conference Finals. So for the duration, and then probably the West home games for the finals. I'm very excited.
Nice. It should be a hell of a run. I know that you were, you know, pretty fascinated by what the Memphis Grizzlies just did, and look, so were we. And I think one of the more fascinating things was the regular season rumor that, you know, they might actually be better without Ja Morant, which just sounds ridiculous on its surface. And then you start applying that to the playoffs and you'd say, well, no team is going to be better in the postseason without their best player. So you can just dismiss that. But then they actually run the experiment in front of us. And this is what made this Memphis series so compelling, because when they were supposed to fade away is when they stepped forward. And I think we were surprised by it. They wouldn't admit to being a little bit surprised by it, but they have to. Where do you come down on the Grizzlies playing better without Ja Morant against the Warriors?
Yeah, I mean, they were 1-2 with him, 1-2 without him. Obviously, that game five is the one that really stands out. Historically bad performance shooting by Golden State. I mean, look, no team is, I think, better without Ja Morant, you know, record notwithstanding. I think it speaks to just how well the roster has been constructed. I mean, I really like this sort of heir apparent narrative because, you know, Memphis is, you know, lost amid the Warriors' dynastic run. This is very much a homegrown operation. I mean, Clay, Steph, Draymond, right? I mean, call them the big three or whatever, all were drafted by this team in a league where it's mercenaries coming to Brooklyn, mercenaries coming to the Lakers, mercenaries coming to the Clippers, you know, and Memphis is sort of building that, right? It's very similar. You know, Desmond Bane, 30th pick, right? I mean, sounds kind of familiar. You know, Jaren Jackson, you know, lottery pick. And I think that, to me, it says more about the construction of that roster, sort of a very tight, well-run, buttoned-up organization that sort of makes the trains run on time. When you play good system basketball, and the Spurs did this for years, like, it is to some extent next guy up. I mean, no one can recreate what Ja Morant does. But there's a recognizable defense. By the way, I also think they are a better team defensively without Ja. I think it's more of a function of his age right now. Tyus Jones is just a particularly good on-ball pressure defender. And to the extent that they are kind of, quote, better, I think that it does shine through, is that there's a better defensive team without Ja. And that'll change. Ja has a great physical profile. He's long. He's smart. And defense is sort of an older guy's pursuit in this league.
You know, I hope he can stay healthy, though, Kevin. Because, I mean, like, the early comparisons to Rose are, I think, kind of spot on. I hope he's not a Derrick Rose career trajectory.
Yeah, you know, it just scares the hell out of you when you watch him, because it's what we love about watching him, which is he plays with reckless abandon. It's a figure of speech, but let's emphasize the reckless. He does put his body at great risk. Again, one of the reasons we love him, but the guy takes a fall every 5 days. You just feel like is potentially debilitating. And I do worry about that a little bit. I just don't know how you stop it. I mean, it's just that it's congenitally who he is as a basketball player. And, you know, he stops doing that. He stops being Ja. On the other hand, I'm with you. Like, I do worry a bit.
I want to bring this back to Dallas, and more specifically to the least interesting part of them, which is Jason Kidd. How is he a different coach than he was in his other incarnations? Is he better with players? Is he, you know, a better communicator? Is he better tactically? I mean, he got a team that, you know, was okay defensively and became exceptional defensively with a guy like Luka Doncic, who's own defensive attention span is relatively limited.
Yeah. I think it's a combination of factors. I remember asking this question to Monty Williams last year in a one-on-one conversation. I said, you know, what do you know now that you didn't know then? And I was referring to his first job in New Orleans, where he wasn't terribly successful. And he sort of said, you know, I realized I didn't have to know everything. Now, and I think in Jason Kidd's case, there was a lot of dogma in Brooklyn and in Milwaukee. And you know, he ran this very strong, like, pressure trap defense in Milwaukee because they had long guys, and he was very kind of committed, if not overcommitted to it. And then I think he kind of just sort of eased up. I think there was some humility to not, you know, essentially failing twice. And now he comes in. I also think he is, like, I do think he is a perfect guy for sort of a savant point guard. You know, LeBron, you know, I got it from two very reliable sources near LeBron a couple years ago. I wrote this in a piece that LeBron thinks there's only one person alive who sees basketball with a level of clarity that he does. And the answer to that question was Jason Kidd, and I think that's partially why he ended up on the Lakers staff. And, you know, Kidd is a bit of a savant. I just think with Luka, I mean, it's just an absolute knowledge of the craft of being a point guard. I mean, Luka's not a conventional point guard by any means. I think what he's empowered, you know, the staff, Sean Sweeney, to do in terms of the defense, I did not think they had a chance to be the sleeper team this year. I remember a debate early in the season. I was like, look, they just aren't, they're not any better than a top 12 defensive team, and the math doesn't work. You can't be better than a 4 seed in the West, or better than a 5 seed if you're not a top 12 defensive team. But they really have established just a kind of a smart, somewhat conservative with strategic risk defense that works. He clearly has a rapport with Luka, and then it's just like he's kind of coached guys up. He's trusted guys like Dorian Finney-Smith was not a kind of a name many people knew last year. He kind of hand the reins over to the position to Reggie Bullock in terms of the two guard. He kind of valued defense, I think, in terms of personnel. He really unleashed Jared Brunson. By the way, those are all kind of schleppy names. I mean, none of those guys are sort of you associate with the constitution of a potential contender. And like, I think he's just a more mature coach, and I'm kind of pro retread for this reason. I mean, there's a reason a lot of retreads are among the best coaches in the league. I think failing as a coach might be the best preparation for succeeding as one.
The big question between now and tip on Wednesday is, how do the Warriors defend Doncic? Based on who you've talked to and what they've told you, is there sort of a common feeling about how the Warriors should go about doing this? Because it seems like one person alone shouldn't be assigned to him, that they're going to have to do a combination of things. So I guess I'm trying to figure out, what's that combination of things?
Yeah, it's a series of bad choices, right? So number one is he loves to be blitzed because instinct might say, yeah, you throw a second body at him. No, because what Luka does breaking traps is just lethal. You've seen the kind of passes he can make, and he finds everybody everywhere. And that's also a function of his being 6'9". So, like, the blitz is out. Like, I think what they'll probably do is a combination of switching to keep a body in front of him at all times. But also, you got to be careful because, you know, I don't think you want Steph on an island against him. And that's no, I don't mean this as any criticism on Steph. He's small. And it's not a guy you want getting the Lou Williams treatment the way, you know, Doncic can sort of order guys off the menu. So I think the Warriors are going to have to hedge at times given the personnel. I think with Poole's out there, when Steph's out there. Obviously, I think Wiggins will probably start on him. I wonder, I think the interesting thing is like, what unit do you go with? Like, as much as we love the pool party lineup, do you see a little more Otto? You know, do you see a bunch of 6'7", 6'8", guys, kind of vintage 1.0 Warriors where guys like, you know, 6'8", Iguodala's out there with Draymond and Clay And I do think that there might be a bit of that. I mean, I do think we'll see more size. Because you kind of have to, it's not just covering him individually with size. You need size all over the court because the guy can find anyone. And there's so much space, especially with they're throwing out these 5-shooter lineups with Luka. And it kind of rendered Rudy Gobert, the defensive player of the year for many years, completely irrelevant. You know, they really force your hand. And again, I go back to why I'm so eager to watch game one. I just have a million questions, including the one you had. But there isn't, let's not kid ourselves, there's no good way to guard Luka. There are only gradations of bad ways to guard him, and you just have to choose the least bad.
ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz, let's wrap up with this, because you know, you were talking about coaching retreads, and hey, the Sacramento Kings, you know, they're picking one up in Mike Brown, who for a minute there looked like, oh no, Mike, Kings jokes, it's easy to make here, as the Warriors were struggling and kicking the ball all around to everyone who wanted it in the first few rows. Steve Kerr coming back into the room, what did you think his absence really meant or affected the Warriors? And what do you think him being back on the bench for Game 1 will do as we start the Western Conference Finals?
I mean, he's a guy who has just a good command of human relationships in any room he walks into. I mean, he's gifted that way. Y'all have all sat in, you know, press conferences with Steve. You've, I'm sure, had one-on-one conversations with him.
He's joining us live at 5 today. We talk to him every week. He's something else, there's no doubt.
You can tell him I flattered him. So, and I think more than anything, you know, the Warriors are creatures of routine. I mean, they've been at this now for 8 years, and I think there's certain things you just bank on. You're going to look over there and see a healthy Draymond, a healthy Clay, a healthy Steph, like, you know, a healthy Steve Kerr. I just think there are certain constants in any structure, and he's clearly one of those tent poles. And so when a tent pole is missing, it just kind of, the enterprise doesn't really seem itself. I mean, I don't think it's any sort of commentary on Mike Brown, who's got a terrific basketball mind and people love, but Steve is a foundational piece of what this thing is. And to the extent that he's not there, it's not entirely itself.
Kevin, thank you very, very much. Enjoy your work always. And look forward to talking to you, especially if you're all over this Western Conference Finals sometime again in the next couple of weeks. Thank you so much.
You bet. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.